So I've called this message Launch Out Into the Deep, and it should be quite a good message. So let's just pray regarding this thing. Right? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're about to do. Lord, we know that we can come in the authority of the name that's above every name. So I come in the authority of the Lord Jesus, who is the Anointed One, the Christ, that what we speak today, Lord, would be anointed by your Spirit. That the words would come unhindered and unchecked by any influence that we have in that sporting area, any influence or outside influence by Satan, Lord, we come against that. Lord, and we know that faith will arise in our hearts as we declare this, and that signs would accompany the preaching of the word. Lord, I'm expecting, Lord, you to move in a mighty way today. Lord, we declare that you'd release people from the north, the south, and east, and the west to come into this place and experience a touch from you in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let's go out to the scriptures, into Luke and chapter 5, and starting at verse 1. And it says in verse 1, "So it was, as the multitude pressed around him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, this is right at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, very, very early in the ministry of Jesus. And so he wasn't widely known. People had heard about him. There were some miracles that he'd been doing. The disciples hadn't even gathered. He hadn't called the disciples at this point. So it's very early. Now, it's not that big a town that you don't know of people. So it's not that big a place. So people had heard about him already. And it says there in verse 2, "And he saw two boats standing by the lake." So there were two fishing boats. But the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. So the boats were empty. The fishermen were some ways off. I'm not sure how they washed their nets, whether they had the fresh water there as well. They probably did. But they were washing their nets. They were away from their boats. And it's interesting that the multitude pressed around Jesus. And because the reason they did, because he was healing. And the night before, he healed people. The night before, he healed people. The night before, he actually was at Simon's house. He preached in the synagogue. He went to Simon's house, and Simon's mother was sick with a fever. And he healed her. And then they brought their sick to her, and he healed them. So Simon knew of him. Simon hadn't been called at this point. But so obviously that, you know, Simon's household was godly. They were welcoming, you know, Jesus and what he was saying. And so he had to find a place that would be safe for him, because the people were pushing and crowding around him. And if you've been down by the lake, and it might have looked something like that, it probably was a bit rough on the edges, and looking for a place where he could speak to people and everyone would hear, not only him being safe, but the people being safe. Could you imagine people trying to get close to Jesus to hear without the public address system? So he was looking around and he saw two boats that were standing empty. And the symbol of them being empty, that they're finished for the night. Now, they don't have the trailer on the car to hoink them up, so they're going to be, you know, lashed up to the side there for the night. So they're empty, finished for the night. And we need to know that Jesus has choices. Now, there was two boats. Why did he choose Simon's boat? And this is a thing that I want us to understand today. He's got choices with us as well. And he will choose who he's going to use. Now, he could use the other boat. but he chose Simon's. And he wanted to do something. He could see the calling, the potential was in Simon, and that's why he chose Simon's boat. So he chose that. And so Jesus is still looking for people that are ready. They're expecting, they want change. They want to do something differently. People that are ready to as it is, launch out into something new, something deeper. And in verse 3 it says, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. So he just didn't get into the boat. He asked permission. You know, he would have said to Simon, hey man, can I stand in your boat? Can you just push it out a little bit so that, you know, these people can hear what I'm saying? And he sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. Now, I don't know how long he was in that boat, but I imagine he's fairly lengthy trying to get out what to teach these people, because it's right at the beginning of his ministry. He's teaching them about healing. He's teaching them about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The scripture says in a chapter before, from that time on, began to speak about the kingdom of heaven has come. So he was talking about what that kingdom of heaven is like, and everything that we need is in that realm, and it's available to us right now. Then when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So, and there's not many people who are actually prepared to leave the comfort of the shallows. Because when you're in that shallow area, it's all safe. Everything's nice. It's tidy. It's set away. And so when Jesus says launch out into the deep, that's really talking about getting out of our comfort zone. I mean, in the shallows, the people on the side can communicate with us. People don't mind getting their feet wet. It's a very comfortable thing to be in the shallows. Even the women will go into the shallows, you know, because it's nice and cool. It's a comfortable place. And when you're in the shallows, you'll even get, you know, people coming up and wading in and say, hey, how was the catch that night? What was happening? And it's a pretty safe area, very comfortable. When you launch out in the deep, you're on by yourself. You're out there. It's you and the deep. And so this is what he says. So I want you to launch out in the deep. See, it's interesting. The deep is not what you know. The shallows is what you know. The deep is whatever is not operating in your life right now. So I want you to hear that. The deep is what is not operating in your life right now. Because in that deep, it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. In their shallows, it's all about you. When you get to a place where it's above your height, you can't stand. It's a place where the Holy Spirit wants to take us to. He wants us. He's saying right now, it's time for us to launch out into the deep where we're not, it doesn't operate in our life right now. We're not experiencing this right now, but it's a place where he wants to take us to, where we have to rely upon him. We've got to rely upon him. We can't rely upon what we've done in the past. See, the deep is letting go of the rope that's got you safely tied up to the shore where every other boat is. Now, the fishing had finished for the night. The night time is where traditionally they would get fish, because the fish can't see the net. In the daytime, they can see the net. They can see what's coming towards them, and they go and they swim away. But in the night, that's why the fishermen went out, because the fish were docile. And they could go with their net and they could get the fish, but now they had an equal advantage. So it wasn't normal for them to go in the daytime to fish. So everything was wrong about what Jesus was saying. it wasn't right. It's letting go. We have to develop a trust relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then things will begin to happen. If we trust what we know, if we trust what we can do, then it's our ability. It's what we're doing. That's why he says, let go, launch out in the deep, so you can do what you can experience what I've got prepared for you. I've got a miracle prepared for you. The Holy Spirit wants to do something. See, is the Holy Spirit able to trust you so that you'll obey what he says? It's a big question. When I've challenged you to say, go and invite somebody, can he trust you to go and to be bold enough to wait upon the Holy Spirit for an inkling or some impression that that's the person I've got to contact? Because that's what it's going to take. Launching out in the deep, you say, well, I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, that's what he's asking us to do, to get out of our comfort zone, to get into a place where it's not us, it's him. See, as far as your miracle is concerned, you'll only receive it if you're prepared to let go of what you're comfortable with. Need to prepare to let go of our dependence on our doctor, on our family, on medicine, whatever it is, and launch out into the deep and trust the Holy Spirit. This is the time. Nothing has worked up to this point. Nothing has worked properly of the things we know. It's time to sever that cord, launch out. Now, your doctor will give you a diagnosis and tell you the facts about your sickness or your disease, but it's not the truth. I want to tell you, he will tell you the facts or the diagnosis about the facts that he's measured, but it's not the truth. It's a fact. You might be thinking this morning, I've been to see a specialist and he earns more, $250, $300 an hour. He's got to know what he's talking about. He studied at all the best universities. I've seen his plaques on the wall of all these degrees he's got. And he's worth a lot of money because it cost me a lot of money to go and see him. And he's told me what's wrong with me. But I want to tell you, it's not the truth. He's telling you symptoms, facts regarding symptom, but it's not the truth. What's the truth? The truth is, in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's the truth. Truth is always going to override fact. So we have to understand that this is the truth that you're healed, the doctor tells you that you're not. You've got to get to a point where you sever that tie. Say, well, I understand the diagnosis, but that's subject to change. Because I'm going to hook into the truth. The truth, the same truth, the same one that raised Christ from the dead, the same one that's got the healing. See, the truth is that by the stripes laid on the back of Jesus with that Roman whip, you were healed. Your healing was already being paid for in full by Jesus. So Jesus told Simon to let down your nets. Let down your nets. And Peter's response was to partially obey. There was a partial obedience in what he did. He honored the man of God enough to partially obey. Well, he would have been going on over and over in his mind. You don't understand. How can you understand? You're not a fisherman. You're not a professional. How can you really understand? I mean, it's okay for you to say, launch out in the deep, but you don't know how much work we've put in all night. Were we just tired and hungry? And now we've listened to you preach for an hour or so in my boat. These things would have been, no doubt these things would have been going on in his mind, because the fact is he partially obeyed. He didn't take the nets that he'd already washed and stacked up and put away. He took the one net that he still had in the boat, the old thing that it was there, that he never bothered washing. There was partial obedience. See, the deep is doing what we do not know, or what you're not doing now. See, that was the thing. Jesus was saying to Simon, launch out into a place where you haven't operated before. Simon would never in his right mind go out in the daytime, launch out in the deep and fish. But that's what Jesus was saying. Do something that you haven't done before. What you've done before has not worked up to now. Do something you haven't done before. And the instruction from God was this. See, we have to activate what God has told us to do. See, it is in the deep that miracles are released, because it's there that we cannot rely on the natural. It's all about the supernatural and trusting the unseen or the unseen realm. See, we're in that realm, we can't swim. We can't do it by ourselves. It's about God wants us to get to a place where we're totally cut away, totally exposed. Yeah, and that's why when you see all these miracles happening, it's not quiet. In fact, a lot of time people are exposed. And they tell what's happening in their life. They let people know that they got some sort of bowel problem, or they've got this issue. And for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit wants that exposed. Not to embarrass people. I think it's to embarrass Satan. That's what it is, because it's the work of Satan. It's under the curse. And so when we get and we embarrass what Satan has done, it gives God the glory. And we're about to embarrass Satan. Not about embarrassing you, but embarrassing the curse that he's worked in people's lives. And in the natural, I can imagine Simon was embarrassed. You know, what does these other friends think about this? You know, imagine Simon pushing out into the deep, going out launching nets again in the daytime. You know, he was from a long line of fishermen. All the other fishermen who there had their boats hooked up as well to the side. So it would have been quite embarrassing. But it's interesting that miracles always follow an instruction from the Lord. Have a look at every miracle. Follows an instruction. There's an instruction to do something in every miracle. The miracles just don't happen. There's an instruction. See, in the case of Simon, it was to launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. The instruction to the 10 lepers was, go show yourself to the priest. There was no change. Absolutely no change. Jesus didn't even come in. He may have been as close as I am to Paul, would probably have been about the closest. It was in shouting distance. The instruction was, go, do this. The instruction for the blind man that Jesus spat in the ground and made mud, go wash yourself in the pool. If he didn't do it, there was no manifestation of that. The miracle was in the instruction. The miracle is in the instruction. And I would dare say that even that instruction's probably come to you in the past. But we haven't done what God said. We haven't given credibility to what was declared. But God will come again and declare that instruction to us again. Because it's in the obedience of that, the miracle happens. See, now, the deep was very familiar territory for Simon Peter, because he was the professional. I guarantee that his father, this was a family business. His father had trained him as a child, taken him out the boat, shown him what was done, time and time again, showing him the best time to go, where to go fish, how to do this, how to do that. So now, because he was now a father, he was now a married man, he was providing for his family, he knew what to do. He'd been trained. But there was something different about what Jesus asked him to do. there was something a little bit different. I imagine in his heart and his mind, he's thinking, I know that this is a man of God. There's something different about what he's saying. You know, and Simon, we know that Simon had fished all night in the lake, and like any fisherman, and especially a professional fisherman, he would try every trick in the book. There's no joy for a professional fisherman to come back empty-handed. It's okay for me or you, Eddie, you know, or whatever. We can come back and say, gee, the clouds weren't right, or the, you know, there was something happening, the wind was in the wrong direction. Because we're not professionals. We just go out, throw the line in, and, you know, it's more hit and miss. But with a professional, their livelihood, their families, food and finances depend upon their ability to fish. So he would have tried everything. He would have tried that side of the lake, the north side of the lake, the south side, every way to try and say, well, what's happening? Like, you know, what was the tides like the night before, or the currents? He would have read all those things and tried everything he did. But he caught nothing. Absolutely nothing, it said. And this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was now telling him to let down his nets. Now, to make it worse, there's an emphasis on the name Jesus of Nazareth in the story. Because Nazareth is not a fishing village. Nazareth is a hill country village. Small and insignificant, up the hill. They don't even have a stream there you can fish from. It's very small. So there's nothing in his name that would say that he's got any credibility to speak about fishing. He's a newcomer. He's a newbie in town. Spent 30 years up in Nazareth. Now he's down here telling a professional fisherman what to do. I mean, everything about this would be screaming wrong to Peter, to Simon. So in the natural, it sounds ridiculous. But there's something about that instruction. There's some element of faith about this. There's some thing that Jesus is saying that he can sense. There's an anointing on him, what he says. It sounds different when he's saying it. He's got so much confidence about this. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So there's enough in that for Simon to say, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And inspired him to at least launch out into the deep one more time. And verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. He just wants to emphasize that to Jesus. You know, he's given the credibility as a master, as a big teacher, but you've got to realize that we've done this all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. He then signifies that he's going to partly obey. And when he had done this, now the interesting thing, Jesus didn't stand on the shore. Remember, he was in the boat. He was sitting in the boat, preaching and teaching, and then he turns to Simon and says, launch out in the deep. Now, Jesus is with us. He's with you when you go out in the deep area. He didn't get out of the boat and say, off you go, son. Go out there, and yeah, he's with us. He was with Simon in the boat. He never leaves you or nor forsakes you. When he asks you to do something, he's with you. You got to get that today. He's with you. He's with us when he's saying, launch out in the deep, put on some healing and miracle meetings. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. And so he does that. He launches out and he lets down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. See, here the problem is that Simon, like probably many of us, hear the word of God, we go out and partially do it. Oh, Lord, I'm going to go and I'll ask somebody. I'll ask somebody. They're not home. I'll just leave the brochure in the letterbox today. You know, I'll just do that. I've thought about that person. You know, I might send him a text message. No, the launching out of the deep is to go out and face somebody and speak to them. Jesus is right with you. the Holy Spirit's in you. See, what we don't understand, that when we say something, the Holy Spirit takes that and our words make an impact, and they might sound silly, but one word is all required. There wasn't many words that Jesus said. Launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That was it. He didn't give him any rhyme or reason, any explanation. He just said one instruction to him, and that's what it takes from you. Just one thing to obey the Holy Spirit. And we know that Simon had washed his nets, he'd packed them away, and he had that one net that he let down. And because he wasn't expecting to receive the miracle, he wasn't expecting to receive. It's like some of those people that you see on those videos, some weren't expecting. Some were. But some weren't. Some were shocked. So what was happening, when they're shocked, that means that other people's faith was being used. In this case, it was the faith of Jesus that was being used. It was Jesus' faith that was carrying Simon at that point. And that's why you see when Billy Burke's been ministering, sometimes it's his faith carrying them. And then he lets go. It's up to them after that. But somebody's got to have faith. There's got to be somewhere, faith somewhere. It's got to be someone believing, someone expecting, someone doing this, because the Holy Spirit only responds to faith. There's got to be faith somewhere. But in this case, it was the faith of Jesus. Because, and I'll tell you why, you'll see that. In verse 7, so following on from verse 6 where there it says, and when they'd done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Their net was breaking. So in verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come out and help them. I tell you now, their other partners were still on the shore. They had to put their flags up or whatever they had to do to signal the other partners, because they were out in the deep. They had to signal. There was some sort of signaling they had with their other partners to get them. I don't think they had carrier pigeons or anything. They signaled to get them to come in. I'd imagine the partners on the shore would have been seeing the boat, you know, lurching because of the weight of fish. So they were out there. They went out real quick. And they came to help them. And when they had came, they filled both boats so that they began to sink. Both boats began to sink. That's a lot of fish. Yeah, that's a lot of fish that both boats begin to sink. It's a lot of weight. It's a bit like when you get the trailer, Eddie, and you fill it up where it's rubbing on the wheels. You know, it just can't take any more weight. It's more than it's designed to carry. And that fish, there was that many fish in there, it was more than the boat was designed to carry, and so it was beginning to sink. It was taking on water. It was riding low in the water. So much was the miracle. And it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. See, this was the greatest miracle that Simon and his partners had ever experienced. It was an outstanding miracle. I tell you, the Holy Spirit does not do things that are not outstanding. They're outstanding. You've got to look back and say, look what God's done. This is God. In that case, they said, this is God. This is not natural. It's supernatural what happened. And so all Simon could do was fall down at the knees of Jesus, because the boat was absolutely so full of fish, they couldn't see their feet. Their feet were covered. Their legs were covered. So he fell down at his knees. That's how much fish was in the boat. And he confessed that he was a sinful man. See, the miracle brings out the difference between us and God. In the case of Peter, he realized that he did not believe. He did not obey correctly. He had doubts in his heart. But even beside that, the miracle happened because Jesus was with him. And that's what happens sometimes. If you can bring people into the presence of the Holy Spirit, they'll be impacted. They'll be aware of their sinful condition because they've encountered God. See, we count the kingdom of heaven when somebody's healed. And there's an encounter and people will be saved because they're made aware of their sinful nature. They're made aware that they can't do this. They don't have the ability. There's no doctor in the house. There's no one that they can turn to. You know, he realized that he was simple because he didn't believe the instruction that Jesus gave him. The boats were on the verge of sinking. He was being slapped in the face definitely by those fish. They're all alive. They weren't caught on a hook. They were just pulled in. They were still alive and kicking. And every slap would have reminded him of who he was, of what he didn't do. And, you know, that miracle changed Simon's life. It changed his name from Simon to Peter. It changed his profession and his confession, that one miracle. See, that's all you need. Just one encounter from God. One miracle will change you completely. And that's why I declare that this is the time we're launching out in the deep and you're going to be changed. So much so. If we fast forward 3 years, after the Holy Spirit being poured out on the disciples, we pick up this account in Acts 3 about Peter. In Acts 3 and verse 1 it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they were approaching the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. It was the best place because people were going to the temple. That's my best spot to get something. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." See, right at this moment, the faith of Peter and John were carrying that lame man. He did not have one bar, one ounce, one grain of faith at all. He was there begging for his survival. So their faith carried that man. I want you to see this because this is the encounter you're going to have. It's your faith that's going to initially carry someone. And Peter says, "I'll give you, but I'll give you what I've got." What did he have? What did he have? Peter had the same anointing dwelling on the inside of him that rose Jesus from the dead. He had the same miracle power dwelling on the inside of him. See, Peter's confidence and boldness was in that anointing. And it's that confidence and boldness that we should also have because it's the same Spirit dwelling in. There's no difference. The same Spirit was in Peter. The same Spirit was in you. The same Spirit was in Christ. The same Spirit. There's no difference. There's only a timing difference. And because we've got the same Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, we can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Christ, the man of Nazareth. See, Peter still called him that man from that hillside country. He referred to him as that because that, he was saying that it's the same humanity, the same power on Jesus is the same power on me, the same power on you. No difference. See, our reliance has to be on the Holy Spirit, not upon who we are. And Peter then proceeded to use the name that had been given over 3 years ago. And Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, In my name, you'll cast out demons. In my name, you'll heal the sick. It's in that name. So we just went back to what Jesus had told him and used the same name, same anointing. And then it says, Jesus took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. He reached down, took him by the hand, and helped him up. Now, when he took him by the right hand, that lame man would have been like jelly still. There would have been absolute no power in his legs. So there's a bit of a working of the miracle. He reached down. There's a point there that's very uncomfortable, very embarrassing. You're putting yourself out in the deep realm here. Reaching down and pulling a lame person off the floor. Not only that, it's quite heavy to pull a dead weight off the floor. So there's a moment in time when now Peter is in the deep again. This is not a quiet place. This is in the open. It's a very busy place. So he's right out in the deep again, waiting for the Holy Spirit to respond to his word of faith. There's no way did the scripture ever say that they knew beforehand that this miracle was going to happen. It wasn't one of those occasions where he woke up the night before and there was a dream about this guy that was going to be at the temple and then he'd walk and he'd do this miracle. He would have done it all differently if that was the case. He would have come and said, I've got a word for you. I've got a word of knowledge for you that you're going to be healed today. It wasn't anything like this. It was a response to him asking for some money. So he reached out with his faith. He launched out in the deep again because he'd been in that deep place before. He'd seen what happened in the deep place where miracles happen. And now he had the boldness, the confidence to say, Lord, I'm going to do this. Respond to my faith. His faith carried him. His faith initiated that thing. He took him by the right hand. See, but when Peter activated by faith what Jesus had told him to do many, many times before. See, for 3 years he'd watched Jesus. For 3 years he'd seen the way Jesus had operated. And now it was up to him. Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit had been given, so he had to do the same things that Jesus did. So many, many times before. And that's what we've got to do. See, the Holy Spirit was one that responded to the faith of Peter. He just stepped out of the boat, basically, and reached down and did something unnatural. And that's what's going to happen when you go out and you see people and you meet people, you're going to do what they do. And I would have been surprised that some people get healed when you do that, because you're getting out, you're launching out in the deep. You're doing something. And it says, and he did. The man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went to the temple with them. See, that's the correct response to any miracle or any healing, is to praise and give glory to God and worship him. It's the correct response. It's the right thing to do, is to worship him. Lord, thank you for what you've done, because then there's another miracle coming down. Because we've given him the glory. We've given him the honor. We're given him what's up, because Peter and John were just channels of that blessing. They're the ones that had faith that carried that. They didn't do the healing. It was Jesus. It was the Spirit of Jesus that did it. The same Spirit that was in him. He wants to move in our midst. That's what he wants to do. Hey, let's stand up. We're going to sing a couple of worship songs today. Thank you. I trust your faith is being stirred today. I trust it has, because we're all about to launch out into a new thing.